Praise the Lord. Hey, here we are. We got power in the hole here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, it seems like we're sure having a lot of birthdays lately. You know, it seems like every time we turn around, somebody's having a birthday. You know, this last week, one of Dave's, Jessie, the little girl, she had a birthday. This last week, I had my wife. She has a birthday. And it's amazing that, and Ed walked in my office this morning and said, Pastor, I'm a year older today. I said, you had a birthday too? He said, yes. I said, wow, so everybody's getting a year older. You know, so wow, we're having all kinds of birthdays. And I will have to say that, you know, I try to teach on the same thing several times in a row or try to repeat it the next Sunday or two because I know how we are as adults. We don't hear very well. Y'all know where I'm coming from? You know, I mean, I'm kind of amazed at myself that I had just been over to Lakeland Baptist Church years ago, and the pastor had preached on something. I thought it was an extremely good message he had that day, and of course we went to dinner right across the street to the chicken place from church, and we went in and I saw somebody that I hadn't seen in a while. He said, well, praise God, Thurman. Good to see you today. Where you been? I said, I've been to church. We go to church right there at Lakeland Baptist Church. He said, well, the pastor, does he ever preach on anything good? I said, man, he had a great message today. He said, what was it about? And I couldn't think. And I thought, wow, maybe I need to hear that more than once. So I was thinking about how we do this and how that's why the Lord told us to learn and study over and over and over. Did he not? And so I think about these birthdays and how we're getting older. So here not too long ago, I taught on Psalms 90. Now, you know, some people disagree with you, but in Psalm 90, it clearly says our years are 70. You know, and maybe a few extra. Maybe some of us will get to 80, but it will be with trials and tests, which tends to lead me to believe that you're going to have trials and tests with your health and everything else. And so when you look around at people, like the other day, Cheryl just had a cousin, a first cousin that passed away. We saw him at a funeral the other day, a family funeral, and he looked perfectly okay. But then all of a sudden we find out he's dead. And then we find out that he is only 53. Wow. You know, so, you know, some people don't make it to 70. You know, so 70 to 80, when the Lord says 70 to 80. But, you know, I mean, he didn't take care of his body. You know, he was heavily involved in drinking and other things, which caused problems. And so he fell, I think, in maybe one of his drunken moments, and did something to his brain, and so they had to go in to do surgery on his brain, and while they had him down for surgery, whatever, something happened, and his liver or whatever or didn't function properly while he was there, and he died on the operating table. Let's face it, are we all going to die?
Yes.
You know, we may think we're not going to die, but we don't want to die at 53. Well, praise God, I've made it way past 53, but anyway, this last week, when my honey bunny had a birthday, and she's around here telling everybody, well, I've had another birthday. Of course, if they didn't know, we had a big birthday dinner for her, you know. Now, this girl likes chicken or turkey and dressing. So on her birthday, since it's the 23rd of this month, you know, she gets at least two turkey and dressing dinners during the month. She gets one for her birthday and then one for all the rest of us. So we all got plenty to eat. So when we're in there, of course, now kids, you know, sometimes kids are playing, they're riding and doing all kinds of stuff. And you're thinking, well, they're not listening. You know, and you're sitting there looking straight at me, paying attention. And I'm talking to you. And then I ask you what the sermon was about and you don't remember a word I said. But these little kids, which are not even paying attention, that are playing and writing and everything else, she come up and asked Grandma. She calls her nominee, but that's for Grandma. She said, Grandma, nominee, how old are you? And so she said, well, Sarah, I'm 68. And when she said 68, she said, nominee, you're close to death.
Oh.
Well, you know, I mean, when you get to be 68, you need to be prepared. Is that not right? Even though you're a Christian, we don't plan on dying anytime soon. But I will have to say, at 68, that's just like I'm fixing to be 77 just in a few days myself in this next month. And I mean, I never dreamed, you know, that just a few years ago when I was a 20-year-old young man, that the day would come I would be saying, well, I'm 77. I just think, wow, where did they go? Frank, where did they go? They go by in a hurry, don't they? Yeah, I mean, you know, if it was you or me or whoever it is, man, every year we get 1 year older, and they seem like the years get closer together, don't they?
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah, whether you like it or not, that's the way it is. But, you know, when you think about this little, I don't know how old,
six
years old. And she says, Grandma, you are close to death. You know, but if you're paying attention, when your pastor or pastors, whatever, when they talk to you about the Word of God, they're trying to tell you what God said in His owner's manual about us. And, you know, so many of us don't pay any attention. But let me ask you a question. What are you going to pay for this day? This day is one day of your life, right? What are you going to give for that? You know, what's it going to cost you? You know, what if you don't do anything today? What if you just don't do nothing? Does the day still go by?
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes by whether you sit in there, drink coffee or Coke or watch TV or eat popcorn, or if you didn't do nothing but just sat there and grumble today, didn't do it, that day still goes by, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Or if you are out doing something for Jesus, if you're talking to people about the Lord, it may seem like your day goes by a lot quicker, but that's what you're going to pay for today. You know, every one of us, we're going to pay for today, and we're going to give whatever we do today for that day. And you can't recoup it. Once it's expended, it's gone. So I just think sometimes, I think that's why the Lord said in Ecclesiastes, and I don't remember the exact verse, it's been a while since I read this, but the Lord says in Ecclesiastes, we need to talk more about funerals than parties. Y'all ever heard that? Why is it that we need to talk about funerals? Nobody wants to talk about a funeral. Nobody wants to talk about, Grandma, you're nearly death. You're nearly at death. Nobody wants to hear that, do we? But, you know, when you're 68 years old, just think, Cheryl already outlived her cousin by 15 years. You know, I mean, here he is 53 and he's gone home. He didn't take care of himself. You know, the Lord tells you all about, in the Scripture, He tells you why you need to not drink. He tells you why you need to take care of yourself. You know, because I don't know about you, but I enjoy being able to walk.
Amen.
I enjoy being able to go places, to do things. I enjoy it. Like sitting down in there with Cheryl and all of our friends the other day and having a birthday dinner for her. I love to be able to sit there and eat. You know, and I even made the statement before, and Cheryl got on me for this. I said, well, we're going to have two Thanksgiving dinners, and I'm probably going to overindulge in both of them. She said, you shouldn't say that. I said, well, it's the truth. I know what I'm going to do. I mean, when you have a Thanksgiving dinner, I mean, I'm only going to get to enjoy this once this day, and I might as well enjoy it, right, Frank? I mean, so if I put on a little extra, now I will have to say that after eating the number of meals that I've eaten, of course, we had a great meal in there last Monday afternoon, and then Thursday, Thanksgiving, we went over to my son's house, and all of the family was over there, and I had plenty to eat, in fact, more than plenty. But I eat it. And then last night when we came back in, some of the fixings that we had left over, about 5:30, Cheryl come in my office. She said, well, I'm hungry. Are you ready to eat? And I thought, okay. So we go in there and I, you know, I'm really still not hungry. You know how you can do that? And so I go in there and I try to be very careful. You know, get a small helping of this and a small helping of this and a small helping of this. And by the time you get around all the things, you might have tried to get a small helping of everything, but you got a pretty good helping on that big old plate, if you know what I mean. I know none of y'all ever do that but me. So anyway, I throwed it in the microwave and warmed it all up and everything, and I put a special helping of mashed potatoes on there because I sure do like them. So anyway, I sat down there and I ate, and when I got through, it was almost like the party the other day when we had the first party. I ate one big plate of stuff, and then I'm sitting there with my plate, and one of the girls comes by and said, "Pastor, are you through with your plate?" And I says, "Not yet." Now, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, do I want to go get another helping of this or that, or am I okay? I said, I'm kind of waiting to give it time to settle, to see how full I am, whether I do this or not. So anyway, I sat there for a few minutes, and then Cheryl says, "You do know that we got coconut cream pie for dessert." I said, "I'm through with my plate. I got to have a piece of coconut cream pie, and I know if I eat another helping of those goodies, you know, I ain't going to be able to eat a piece of coconut cream pie." So I let them have my plate, and I got a fairly small piece of coconut cream pie. And by the time I got through with that, I was too full. And then, of course, last night when Cheryl wanted to come have dinner, I went in there and put a little bit of several things on her, which turned out to be too much. And when I got through, I'm over there saying, "Whew." Cheryl said, "Is there something wrong with you?" And I said, she said, "You sure are taking on a lot." I said, "Yes, I overate again." Aren't you glad Thanksgiving week just comes once a year? So I got in, I left her in there, and I went back to my office to study. And when I got in there, I sat there for a little while. And in a little while, I'm finally having to push up, get up, and walk around in the office. And I think, I need to run a little in place. I said, "Oh, that hurts." And I thought, why do I do this? I know none of y'all ever do this. I know I'm the only one that ever overeats or anything like that. But this week, I enjoyed this week immensely. And the price I paid for it, I mean, I paid for it. I don't know what you did. But I know you paid for it too, because we can't go back and live it over, can we, Frank? It's there. But I thought to myself, I'm glad that we don't have Thanksgiving every week, because if we did, I'd have to come up with some discipline somewhere, because I definitely was, I was overfull when I left in there and went to my office. I was still overfull. And it seems like the longer you wait up to that half hour, after you eat, it's really at least a half hour before all your food gets down into your stomach, and then you know how much you've overeaten. You know, and so by the time the 30 minutes came, I was miserable. I wasn't just a little bit miserable. I was grossly miserable. And then I had to get up and walk around my office and everything else. And I thought, wow, what we do to ourselves. Now, I know I know all y'all was controlled yourself. You didn't do that either?
No.
No, you didn't either. Why do we do that to ourselves? It's so something, I'll tell you what, it is really something. But the Lord, in His Word, He's merciful and He's gracious and He loves us and He gives us all that stuff, just like He says, "I satisfy your mouth daily with good things." And we're so grateful that He does that. And I will have to say that, you know, with what, just like Dave said, with what's going on in the world, a while ago when Ronnie, he works for TSA, and when he came in, I asked him, I said, "How's things going?" And he said, "Well, it's kind of slow." And I said, "Kind of slow?" He said, "Yeah." He says, wasn't near as many people traveling, air travel, this holiday as there normally is. Now then, I just happened to think about what Dave said. Those people that were afraid to travel, those people that went in their car, they don't dwell in a secret place. They don't have a clue who God really is. I'm serious. You know, just think. I don't know if you heard or not, but all the things that are going on in the world. And it is a time to really be a Christian and know you're a Christian. You know, I mean, it's really, really time, because, you know, that Russian jetliner that had 224 people on board, when I watched the man that was interviewing the guy that was working for the airline, they figured out that the guy that blew up the airplane did it with a bomb in a can, a soda can. And that he took it on board himself. He was a Muslim. And he went up in the airplane. He worked for the airline. And when the airplane got to 30,000 feet, he detonated that bomb. I mean, in his own hand. Detonated that bomb. And it blew up the tail of the airplane. And the airplane crashed. And all 224 people were killed. We live in a sad place when we have people that have no respect for life or nobody else's life, not even their own. But we need to realize what God has given you and me on this earth as His children. Amen. I mean, if we would read the owner's manual, just like we went over, and I'm so glad that Dave went over some of those scriptures this morning in the 16 verses of Psalms 91, because the whole book is a book written for God's children. And He tells us what we can do and what we can't do. He tells us all the power and all authority that He's given to us. You know, now, I don't know if I told y'all, but there was somebody told me about a dog just a couple of weeks ago. First of all, there was a young boy, like 10 years old, that he just had some kind of tremendous experience with God. You know, I mean, kind of like if God speaks to you and you're a 10-year-old or whatever, it changes your life forever. You know, and I know that I was 30-something years old the first time God spoke to me, and I guarantee that changed my life forever. You know, I mean, I'm never going to be the same. And then, of course, as the Lord continued to speak to me over the years, as He would tell me things which would change my life forever, every time He would speak to me and it would bring some revelation from the Word, my faith level would get to a new level. You know, and I think, wow, this God stuff, this church stuff, this ain't just coming to church. This is really good stuff. You know, most people, it seems like they don't get that. But anyway, this young boy, he'd had some kind of encounter like that with the Lord. And so his faith was at a just awesome level. I think maybe, I forget maybe he'd seen an angel or something. I forgot what it was. But something, this boy, I mean, he's not concerned at all, because he's now kind of like the little boy that goes to school every day, walks a couple, two or three blocks to school. And every morning, there's two boys, he's about 9 or 10, and there's two boys that's about 12, 13. And they've found out this young boy had a dollar bill. His dad gave him a dollar every day for his lunch money. And so when they found out he had the dollar, you know, they would beat him up and get his dollar. Well, one day he told his daddy, he said, "Daddy, these boys are stealing my money from me." And he said, "I want you to walk me to school." And he says, "Okay." And so his dad gets out there that morning. And, of course, today, instead of folding the dollar up and putting it in his pocket somewhere, he's holding it by one corner. You know, that kind of like waving the dog, waving the flag, here's a piece of meat for the, you know. And so he's waving this dollar, they're hiding it, and they're walking along, going to school. Now, here he is, a little kid like this, and he's got a daddy like me, you know, 6'2" and whatever, and 180 pounds a man. And he's walking along there, and there's these two little 12 or 13-year-olds, and he sees these two boys up there, and they're sitting there waiting on him. And, of course, you know, as he does, daddy's walking down the sidewalk, and the boys are standing off to the side. So he walks right over in front of these boys, you know, and he's... Now, why is he not afraid? Because he's got daddy there with him, and he knows daddy ain't going to let them boys do nothing. In fact, he can work and flap that dollar in their face. He don't have no problem flapping his dollar in front of your face, because he knows who's with him, doesn't he, Frank? Well, let me tell you, the Lord has given those angels charge over us to protect us in all our ways. It's written not only in Psalms 91, but it's written in other places in the Word of God too. And He gives those angels charge over us. Yeah. He is there. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We have been given this power and authority. And he's told us over and over and over what we can do in the name of Jesus. And it's like we don't believe. But this little boy that had this, the 10-year-old that had had the experience of whatever it was, when he was up there with his mother on a balcony, and there was one of his friends come running down the street, and when he come running by the house, there was a great big pit bulldog in the yard, and that pit bulldog jumped the fence. And, you know, I don't know if you heard the other day, but it was on the news. I do watch a little news once in a while. A 7-year-old boy with his mother and dad went over to a neighbor's house, and the kid went out in the backyard, and they heard something and rustled, and they went out there, and that bulldog had already killed that 7-year-old kid. Did y'all see that on the news?
Oh my gosh.
It was awful. So anyway, it's a good time to train your children to know the promises of God, where they know how to stand on those promises, because this little boy that had had the encounter, as he's standing with his mother, now his mother, you know, she's supposed to be able to be the most knowledgeable and everything because she's the mother. And this little boy comes running by in front of the house when he sees him. He's going to run to him. And that big old pit bulldog jumps over the fence and starts running after that kid. And, of course, when that kid sees it, you know, the mother starts screaming, run. And so that boy's running as hard as he can. But, of course, there's no match for that dog. You know, that dog's catching him. And the dog gets almost to the little boy and starts to jump on him to attack him. And the little 10-year-old boy says, Jesus, get him. That's all he said. Jesus, get him. And that bulldog fell on the ground, flopped over on his back with four legs sticking straight up in the air, and never couldn't move that dog for 2 hours. Now, we need some 10-year-old people in this church, you know, that have that kind of knowledge of the Word of God and who we are in Christ. And when I'm saying we need some 10-year-olds, we need some 30-year-old, 40-year-old, 50-year-olds, 80-year-old, 100-year-old. We need this church to realize who we are in Christ. When Dave reads over Psalms 91, it tells us some awesome things. If we would just read that and believe those promises, you would never get into fear again. Never. I mean, you know, never. In fact, I'll tell you, and some of you say, oh, it's just a coincidence, but I'm telling you that Saturday morning, it had been raining all night long. All night long. And now every time I woke up, it's just pouring down rain out there. It's just pouring. So I don't know, 4 or 5 o'clock, whatever it was, I finally woke up. When I woke up, I said, okay, Lord, we've had enough rain for a while.
Amen.
I said, I want the rain to stop in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I'm telling you, it wasn't 1 minute till the rain stopped.
Praise the Lord.
And it didn't rain. I mean, it didn't rain for hours. I think about that little boy, again, a 10-year-old boy, another one. When we went to California to teach, to speak one time, I said, while I'm out here in California, I said, I'm going to tell you all a story about a little 10-year-old boy and his mother. I said, they were from Oregon, and they were going to go on a cruise to Honolulu. And so they get on this big ship, this cruise ship, up there, somewhere up there in the north, and they head toward Honolulu. I said, now, I haven't had this spoken to me directly by the mother or this boy, but I said, they wrote me an email and told me what happened. Said they were on the way and said everybody that was with them on the cruise was getting sick because the seas were so rough. That big old ship was flouncing around out there and everybody was getting sick. And this little 10-year-old boy, he'd been listening to my teachings about dominion and authority. A 10-year-old kid. So he said, Mama, let's go up on the deck and let Jesus take care of this. She said, what do you mean? He said, Mama, let's go. You've been listening to Thurman's teaching. You know we've been given dominion and the power. You know that Jesus calmed the sea. Did Jesus calm the sea?
Amen.
And he says, Jesus calmed the sea. And Jesus said, Thurman said that Jesus said in John 14:12, that not only can we do what he done, but we can do greater things than he did. So that if the Word of God says that, let's go do something, Mama. Let's go let Jesus take care of this thing. So she said, we go up on the deck, and we go up there, and this big old ship's just with these big old waves. He just held out his little hand, 10-year-old boy, and said, peace be still in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Mother said, in 10 minutes, that water was as smooth as silk.
Amen.
Now, I'm telling you, when you get an ocean rolling like that, and it stops in 10 minutes, you got something supernatural going on, because water don't, that big a body of water don't stop rolling that quick. But when Jesus spoke, it did. And when we speak in His name, He tells us if we believe with no doubt in our heart, we can do the same things. Not only the same things, but greater things than He said He's done shall we do in His name.
Yes, Lord.
So I said, I heard that story. Oh, they sent me an email and told me about it. And all of a sudden, a hand goes up back there in the back. I said, yes, ma'am, what do you need? And she said, I am that mother, and this is that boy. I said, would y'all like to come up here and retell the story? She said, you've done a good job telling it. Said, that's exactly the way it happened. And I said, come up here, young man. And here's this little 10-year-old boy. He comes running there. I said, you listen to my teachings that I sent to your mother, and you learned the dominion and power that you had as a son of God. He said, yes, Mr. Scrivener. He said, I was listening. He said, I was a lot of time playing or something, but said, Mom would be listening to the CD, or Dad, one, we'd be driving down the road, and they're listening. But he says, I'm listening too. And he says, when Jesus said, he said, one day I heard you say, you know, here Jesus calmed the sea. He calmed the storm, spoke to it. And then he asked the boys, where is your faith? What's wrong with you guys? He said, you know, then Jesus said, clearly you told us exactly where the scripture was. You said it was in John 14:12. That if we, Jesus clearly said in John 14:12, I tell you the truth. Not only can you do what I have been doing, but greater things than these that I've done shall you do in my name. He said, you know, I listened to that and I thought, wow, I never heard that before. So he said, I thought, well, maybe he made a mistake. So he said, when I got back home, I didn't say nothing to nobody. I just went in and I got my Bible. And I opened my Bible to these scriptures that you were talking about, and said, lo and behold, the Bible said exactly what you said. So he said, if the Bible said, which was written by God, the Bible said exactly the same thing you said, then he said, I ought to be able to do those things because Jesus said it. Now then, we need some people today that has a faith like that. You know, that I know that whenever all this stuff happened in Paris, as well as all these other things happening all over the world, all the different things that are happening, we don't have very many Christians that know who they are in Christ. Yeah, we just don't know. We don't understand that we are sons of God. We have angels sent to our charge to watch over us, to protect us. I mean, just like that Psalms 91, I forget now what town. It's on the internet. You can look it up. I have before, but it's been a while. There was a town here in Texas somewhere, a small town. And I forget, they had 30 or 40 men that went from their area to World War II. And of course, back in World War II days, we used to have some Christians. I mean, you know, we had people that come to church, you know, people that really believed the Word of God. You know, it wasn't like it is today, you know. I mean, today, we have such a small number of people that call themselves Christians. You know, I mean, today, at the beginning of World War II, if you wanted to put a flag up over the courthouse, I mean, hey, this is America. You know, you don't take down the flag. You know, if you want to say something about Jesus, hey, we give you a soapbox. You know, get up on your soapbox and tell us about Jesus if you want to. But we're not going to tell you that we have to, can't talk about Jesus, especially in the classroom, because you might offend somebody that's of some other kind of religion. Well, if it offends you for me talking about Jesus, then you need to find someplace else to go. Because I don't know nothing else to talk about out here but Jesus. Do you? Amen. He is our boss. He's our God. He's our He's everything. And so we need to talk about Him. But you know, if we don't do that, then there's no telling what may happen. But, you know, we have got to come to the point to where that when God made promises in His Word, we believe them. We've got to believe them. You know, I just stand in awe at the promises that's in that book that I've learned. And just kind of like Dave a while ago when Dave was talking about, this has probably been about 7 or 8 years ago when John was just a little bitty guy. But me and Dave was out, we had just purchased the 421 and we were out flying around. We flew down to Palestine. It's got a nice big runway down there. And we were flying about 10,000 feet down there. And we were just checking out the airplane. We just bought it. And we're flying along there a couple hundred miles an hour, you know. And we noticed something that as we fly along there, every once in a while, the altitude hole, when you put the altitude hole on, the airplane would just, you'd be flying along, all of a sudden it would just pitch up, just whoom, like this. Well, you know, I'm not a stunt pilot by no means, but if you were, that wouldn't be much of a stunt. I'll have to say that, you know, for it to do that. But Dave, that's when Dave was first learning how to fly. And Dave really liked the airplane to be very stable and very smooth and very calm because he was new at this. So, I mean, even if I made a little bit tight turn, he'd say, my pastor, you're going pretty tight there. And, you know, so, but he's learning. But anyway, whenever it would be flying along and all of a sudden that altitude hole would have a little glitch in it somewhere and it'd say, woo, like this, you know. Dave, he'd say, pastor, you got it. And I said, yeah, Dave, no problem. I got it. It's all under control. So I set it back down, re-engage the autopilot, and little John standing there about this big, he said, Papa D, that was fun. Do that again. I told him, I said, you have a stunt pilot on your hand right here, Dave. This boy may turn out to be a stunt pilot, but I'll guarantee. But Dave wouldn't be. But now he's pretty solid now in the airplane. The little things like that doesn't bother him anymore. But back in those days, he knew how to work on airplanes, but he didn't fly them, and so he just, you know, I don't want that. But, you know, when you finally get that airplane fixed, and it's flown so many hours, so solid, so rock solid, you really get to where you can just, you know, trust anything. But it's still a piece of equipment. You have to realize that, you know, you have dominion and authority over things. Now then, if you've never exercised or learned your dominion and your authority, I think that it's time to start.
Amen.
I think you need to start hiding these words. I want you to see this awesome promise of John 14:12. I want you to look at this a minute. I want us to meditate on this because Jesus has given us so many awesome promises. In the last few weeks, for those of you that have been here several times in the last 3 or 4 weeks, I want to just ask a question. What does Matthew 7:7 say? Oh, you're listening. Some of y'all are listening. Did you hear all the voices that spoke up? And say that again now, Miss Jackie.
Ask and ye shall find. Receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened.
And how many people that ask?
Everyone.
That ask gets their answer?
Yes, sir.
Is that written in God's Word?
Yes.
Okay, so if that's in Matthew 7... And, okay, so then if that's there, and if Jesus, if he said, let everything be confirmed out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, right? Now, that almost sounds too good to be true, doesn't it, Miss Jackie? I mean, now just stop and think about this. For the average Christian, that ask, knock, seek is really not a revelation to them yet. Because if you have a need or something goes wrong, if you happen to be the mama standing here when a bulldog chases another one, you're up there screaming instead of taking the dominion. Is that true? See? So we need to realize that as Christians, Jesus has given us that dominion. He's given us that authority. He's given us that power. And when something happens, we need to exercise our power in His name to get it done. Because when we hit that one, now then, let me ask you, in Luke 11, okay, see, now here's a girl that's listening. Again, what did he say there?
Ask and ye shall receive, speak and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened.
Okay, for how many?
Everyone.
Everyone that asks, receive. And then we go to Luke chapter 18. What does he say there?
Same thing.
Now, if Jesus told us all these things, and he said that no matter what, if you'll come to me and ask, I will answer. Okay, now, if we come to this place here like we did in this scripture, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father.
Amen.
That's kind of an awesome verse, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, who does that belong to?
Me.
That belongs to you and me as the church. But just like Dave said there a while ago, it may belong to the church, but most of the church don't live there. We need to really begin to get this in our spirit that this dominion, this power, and this authority is ours in the name of Jesus. We can do all these things. And whenever, like I've said, I made a teaching here a while back, and it's called The Day's Coming When You're Going to Need Psalms 91. I guarantee the day is going to come when you need Psalms 91. You're going to need to know Jesus, the name of Jesus, and the promises of God. If you don't, it could easily cost you your life.
Yeah.
You know, so when you realize that all these promises are yours, if you realize that all these promises belong to me, and this dominion and this authority, it belongs to me. If Jesus is telling us the truth, and can he lie?
No.
Okay, now if he said I can't lie, and he makes us all these promises, and he told us about we could act on everything, and if we were to take a scripture like, I guess Matthew 17, 20. If we go to Matthew 17, 20, let's go over there and look at that a minute. And let's see if I'm in the right place. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
And Jesus said to them, let's go up a couple of verses. Let's go up about four or five verses ahead of that, like verse 15 and 14. And let's restart with verse, Lord, have mercy on me, my son, for he is a lunatic. And he's sore vexed, for oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, or I brought him to your preachers, or I brought him to you, and they could not cure him. Did you know that's our problem today? Do you know when I read that and I think about how little faith, and I hate to say this because I'm a human being, sometimes I just know when I pray for somebody, I'm fixing to see a miracle. Sometimes I just know it. And sometimes that I just don't have that kind of faith. The thing I've got to get in my heart that one thing's not any harder for Jesus than another thing. You know, I mean, I heard the farmer that, did any of y'all ever see the DVD called Faith Like Potatoes?
Yeah.
Okay, wasn't that great?
Yeah.
Now then, this man had great faith. And I think it was the same guy. I heard him talking about this last week on Daystar. I believe it was Daystar or TBN, one of them, about how he was somewhere and this woman died. Did anybody see this? Oh, you did see it. Okay. Anyway, this woman died, and he went up and he was there with the woman, and she was dead, and she died on the platform. And there was all kinds of people out there, and they were watching what happened. But this woman literally died, and the doctor diagnosed her dead. And so he said, Lord, what do I do? And he says, you take my name. And he told him exactly what to do. So he said, I went over there and knelt down by this dead woman, and I put my hands on her, and I did exactly what the Lord says. And he says, nothing happened. Nothing. She didn't wake up. She didn't do nothing. She's just there. I thought, Lord, what do I do now? You know, especially when you hear the Lord tell you to do something, and you do it, and it doesn't work. Because there's something else he's doing. You need to realize, don't get excited. You know, be patient. He's doing something.
That's right.
And so we got to learn to trust our master. That's what I'm trying to say here. You've got to learn. So, Lord, what do I do? And he says, reach and get her arms and pick her arms up and pick her straight up like this. So he said, I did. He said, I reached down, a great big old farmer, you know, had his big old black hat on and everything. He reached down and gets this woman, and everybody out there knows she's dead. The doctor said she is dead. And he reaches down, grabs her by the arms because the Lord told him to pick her up, and she picks her up and holding her just like this. And he said, Lord, what do I do? He said, turn her loose. turn her loose. Well, of course, he's thinking, she's going to fall. So he said, the Lord said, turn her loose. So he turned her loose and said, she stands right there with her hands raised. And then said, I back up and I think, wow. Said something to her, and she turned around and looked at him and blinked her eyes and said, whenever she did, said the whole place went bananas. Everybody got to see Jesus raise somebody from the dead. Now then, you know, I hate to say this, but we all ought to be living there. We should all be living there, but the Lord knows. I mean, I remember one time when I forget now where I was at, but we had been preaching at a church, and we preached past the time we had approval to preach there, and so they had to move us to another church. Now, this is unusual. The first and only time this ever happened. But they moved us to another building, another church, where nothing was happening. But the pastor there, he believed in some of these things, but he didn't believe in it very much. But he knew the pastor of the church where we had to get out by a certain time. And so we moved us over to his church. And when we got over there, do what?
I was there.
Oh, you were there? Okay. So we got over there to the other place, and they brought this pastor. As I walked in the door, the pastor asked the Lord, Lord, is this man really real or not? Because he's teaching things I never heard. But I'm teaching the Word. And he tells him, he says, if he answers the question that you're going to ask, ask him if he has enough faith to heal the boy that has cerebral palsy. Said, if he answers no, he's my son, and he truly knows and believes the truth. But if he says yes, he said he's lying because he don't have that kind of faith. So this man I never met walked up to me and says, do you have faith to heal that boy with cerebral palsy? I said, no. Isn't that amazing? That man came over to me and said, I know you're real. I just asked the Lord, and the Lord told me, if you answered that question yes, you're a liar. But if you said no, you're really real. Well, I'm here to tell you, I didn't have enough faith to do that. I didn't have enough faith. But let me tell you what. I can remember the day when if you'd asked me if I'd had the faith to pray hundreds of warts off of Philip Anthony Wren, I'd have said, no, I don't have that kind of faith. But one day, I did acquire that kind of faith. And I went over to Philip's house at his mother and dad's request, and I was able to pray the prayer of faith for them, get the sins all confessed, and then stand up and say, I guarantee you in the name of Jesus, these warts and scars will all come off of this boy's body. But if that had happened 10 years earlier, I didn't have the kind of faith. Now then, all of us are not there. I'm not where I want to be. And I know every one of us in this room, none of us is where we want to be. Are we, Frank? We want to increase in faith every day, do we not? We want to be sons and daughters of the Most High. I don't know about you, but I get tired of getting a spanking. You know, I'd rather do it his way and see him do glorious things than to get a spanking from God. Because I realize I don't have an answer to everything, but I do realize that if I spend time with God, the more time I spend with him, the more I learn and the more I can do. But just like this story we got here in Matthew 17, he said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic, and he's sore vexed. And oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Last night, I had a dream. And in this dream, Cheryl woke me up. She started shaking me in the back. She said, honey, are you okay? I said, yes, I'm fine. She said, what in the world was wrong with you? Did what, honey?
I said, really?
Yeah, yeah. She said, what's wrong with you? And I said, well, I said, there was a boy that came in, and I said, we were putting some stuff together here, and I was doing something, and I don't even remember what it was. Oh, yeah, I was at the airport. That's right. I said, I pulled into the airport, and we were going to get some gas for the airplane. And I got out, and I looked up there, and the guy that was standing there with the guy that was going to put the gas, this guy was all bent over and twisted like this, and his legs were shaking like this, and he's walking like this. And I asked the guy, I said, what's wrong with him? He said, I don't know. He just had this terrible problem. The Lord spoke to me and said, he has a demon, cast it out. So I reached up and I grabbed this boy that's shaking like that, all hunkered down like this, and his arms all twisted. And I grabbed him, and when I did, he began to resist. I mean, he began to try to get away from me. I said, you're not getting away from me. I said, I'm fixing to kick this devil of hell out of you in the name of Jesus. Man, I am fighting. And I got this guy. That's when Cheryl woke me up. She said, are you okay? And I said, yeah. She said, what were you doing? I said, I was at the fuel dock at the airport. I'm casting a demon out of a boy. Now, it's a good dream. That's right. And I believe with all my heart, God is showing me something that he's preparing me, so when I see that happen, when I see that boy, I know it's a done deal. I know it's his will. He's already showed me the preliminaries up front. And so when I see this boy that's got this problem, I can pray in faith, knowing that when I pray, he's going to be delivered and set free. I know it's going to happen. What does God give us dreams and visions for? To help us, to reveal things to us. He speaks to us in dreams and visions. You know, he wanted to see, that's just like the night that, one has been maybe a year or two ago when we had this little situation one night. I thought I was awake. I don't know what I was, but all of a sudden I looked up. I was laying there in the bed, and I looked up, and there is a guy about 3 feet long, 4 foot long, laying up there above my bed, just looking down at me, laughing at me. And so when I saw that, I just threw the cover back and reached up there and got him and drug him down in the bedroom and started punching him out. I woke Cheryl up. She said, what is wrong with you? I said, there was a demon laying up there laughing at me. And I said, I was punching him out. She said, you're wild. Well, let me tell you. I'm beginning to understand I'm a son of God. And that all authority and all dominion has been given to me by the Master. And I can do anything I can believe him for. And if I believe, in other words, I want to get to the point, I don't want to be like some people. I don't want to wake up and see something up there and I say, ah! If it is, I'm screaming at you, you better get out of the way because I'm fixing to get you. Do you understand where I'm coming from? Become a man or a woman of faith. You know, don't be afraid of anything. You do not realize who you are.
Amen.
I mean, we are sons and daughters of God. Yeah, I'm not just anybody. I'm not a conqueror.
More than a conqueror.
I was waiting for somebody to come up with that. That's right. Terry, I'm not a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ, right?
Yeah.
So if I'm more than a conqueror, there is nothing can touch me.
Woo!
But just like we talked about a while ago with that little town down here in Texas, that they had somebody come down there every day to the city hall or the courthouse or whatever they called it, and had this big glass deal out front and had everyone, 30 or 40 of these men's pictures on this big thing. And somebody quoted Psalms 91 over every one of those boys every day for World War II. Every day. And some of you may have seen this or heard about it, but whenever the war was over, every one of those men that was on that board came home without a scratch. Not a scratch. Because the mothers and fathers prayed, and I will have to say that when I was at home, I never, ever remembered my daddy praying for me openly that I could hear. I never heard him do that. But when I got back from Vietnam, one of the first things Mother told me is, son, I knew you was going to come back safe because not only was I praying, but I have never seen your daddy pray so many prayers for anybody as he prayed for you. He said he prayed for you every day, that the Lord would watch over you and protect you and bring you back home because he's the only boy he had and he didn't want to lose you. And so I said, your daddy prayed more for you So I'm telling you, because of my mother and dad's prayers, I went to Vietnam and come back. I got no Agent Orange. I got no. I had somebody praying protection over me. When God tells us in His Word, pray. Pray. What should we be doing?
Pray.
With thanksgiving, right?
Yes.
We need to be praying with thanksgiving. And I just stand amazed at the people today that when all of us Christians, when we see something or hear something and somebody gets sick. In fact, I just got to tell you this. This last week, one of our good friends called and says, my mother just had a problem and they're taking her to the hospital. And I want y'all to pray. So Cheryl got a hold of me. And you got to pray for this lady, this grandmother. Okay, I prayed. I remitted her sins. I prayed the prayer of faith. And then I said, now tell her, we have prayed. It's done. I guarantee it. 3 hours later, we get a phone call back that the mother has been released from the hospital and couldn't even find nothing wrong with her.
So,
yeah. What can we do when we learn to pray in faith? That's right, Terry. There ain't nothing. There ain't nothing impossible. And you know, here we are as Christians, and we got children, we got mothers, fathers, and the only thing we can do is to say, oh my goodness, something happens, I need to find somebody that can pray. If you are a Christian, you need to be learning how to pray, right? You don't need to go out and look for somebody. The same Jesus that's in you is in me, right? The same one, the same God that's in you is in me. And if we will only believe, you know, we don't want to be like this guy we're reading about here in Matthew here. We don't want to be like this guy, but this is where we are today. There's far too many of us that have never learned how to pray. But we go to church, we call ourselves Christians. And in fact, some of us, you know, somebody will ask you, are you a Christian? Well, I hope so. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Yeah, me too. Well, you know what? I just stand in awe. And all this all revolves around the fact we don't know what the Word of God says. We don't know who we are. We don't know what we can do. We don't know that we're not just a conqueror. We're more than a conqueror. We don't know we're joint heirs with Christ. And everything that belongs to Him belongs to me and you. In His name, we can ask for anything as long as you do it in faith. So, and that's just like when we were out in West Texas this last week. That pastor's wife, I asked the question the first night, and about 30 minutes into the work, I said, now then, before you pray for somebody, you need to always make sure you have remitted their sins. I said, how many of you in this room, probably 100 people that first day, I said, how many of you in this room believe that you have the power within you to forgive somebody else's sins? 3 people's hands went up. 3 out of 100. And one of the women sitting right here where this young lady sitting, and I said, and she held her hand up, and I said, how do you know that you can do that? She said, my husband and I come to one of your healing schools. And we were on the way home. We picked up a bunch of CDs and said, you were telling a story about a woman in your church that the power was off at their house. And she called the power company, and the power company said, it's going to be the middle of the night before we get the power on. So you waited till the next morning, and when they got up the next morning, there was still no power. So she prayed and asked the Lord, Lord, what's going on? And the Lord spoke to her and says, remit the sins of this block so I can turn the power on. And her first words was, Lord, I can't forgive the sins of this block. And then she says, what am I talking about? You just told me to do it. Now that's, you know, I hate to say it like this. This is kind of the height of stupidity. But we've all been there, have we not?
Yeah.
We've all done it. You know, we've all. So all of a sudden she caught herself and said, Lord, what am I talking about? Lord, if you tell me to remit the sins of this block, Lord, I forgive everybody's sins on this block. And bam, just like that, the power came back on. So she said, I thought, now wait, I have not been in church all my life. I've never heard such a thing as this. So she said, as soon as I got home, I got my Bible out and I read John 20:23, and lo and behold, that's what it says. I have the power to forgive sin. And so she said, we're at church. And she says, we have a prayer meeting right after church. And said, now it's about 12:30, and I'm up there on my knees praying and everything. And somebody says, Brother Bob, He's been comatose 2 weeks, and he probably ain't going to recover. She said, hey. She said, I look over there at one of my friends, and I say, come over here. Got to be nice and quiet, because this is a prayer meeting, see. So she wiggles her finger and tells her to come. She comes and she goes, what do you want? She said, you know what we've learned about remitting somebody's sins? She said, yes. She said, let's put it to work. She said, let's remit Brother Bob's sins. And then let's pray the prayer of faith for healing. And remember, we got to do this in faith, nothing wavering. So she said, we did. We used John 20:23. First time ever in my life I had ever used that verse. But she said, I heard about another crazy woman. You know, do y'all know that's the name of a VOR? You don't know what a VOR is, do you?
No.
Yeah, I was coming back from Billings, Montana. And the guy called me and he said, I've got to redirect you on your flight plan. You can't go where you're going. It's too big of a mountain. I got to redirect you to Crazy Woman VOR. I thought, I'll never forget that in my life. Crazy Woman VOR. And so there's a crazy woman out there somewhere. Isn't it something? So she said, we got over there together and we start these two crazy women that believe the word of God. You know, that there's people out there that if you start believing this book, they're going to call you crazy. You know, but they called Jesus crazy too, didn't they? And he said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. So she said, we remitted his sins according to John 20:23. And then we prayed the prayer of faith for his healing and thanked the Lord for it. And she said, about 30 minutes later, somebody called the church and told us that Brother Bob had just woke up and he's just doing great. And it wasn't but a couple of days, he's out of the hospital and well. He went home because of a couple of crazy women. Isn't that something? Yeah, I know, but she's crazy. I mean, anybody that can believe that, you know, I can remember when I first, in fact, let me put that on the board. Look, we'll come back here to Matthew just a minute. Put John 20:23 in the NLT on the board and let's see what that says. And I want you just to see with your own eyes, what does the Word of God say in John 20:23? What does it say? If you forgive what? Now, I don't know about the rest of the world, Terry, but that sounds pretty simple to me, doesn't it, you? But how many times did I read that and couldn't believe that? Because the first time or two I read that, I thought, yeah, that says whosoever sins I forgive. And, of course, then I always read it in the King James. Now, the King James, put it up there in the King James for them to see what it says in the King James. Whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. So I thought, okay, so that couldn't, remit and forgive couldn't be the same thing. It couldn't be forgive because I couldn't possibly have power to forgive somebody's sins. And so this is crazy. So, you know, you go to your pastor because you know all pastors know everything, right? Yeah, sure. We know that. So I go to my pastor and ask him and he said, oh, no, Thurman, that's not what that means. You know, you can't forgive sin. I said, okay, that's what it says. But that's not what it means. Okay, so then one day I was over there in that same church, and we were over in Genesis, and we were talking about, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart. I said, now, you know, brother, wait a minute right here. I said, you know, I have a problem with this. If God's such a loving God, it says here that because Moses was over there and he was going to demonstrate his power, it says, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. I said, why would God do such a thing? He said, well, Thurman, that's not what that means. I said, now, wait a minute. I said, but that's what it says. It says the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Is that what it said, Miss Jackie? Yeah. And so anyway, I look at that, and then finally, so here I go away frustrated. I said, okay, God, I have a problem. If you wrote this book, I realize you're supposed to be way smarter than me. Wouldn't you think so? Oh, yes. And I said, Lord, if I can't even find pastors or I can't find anybody that can interpret what this book says, if you made it this difficult, if you wrote it to say something and it doesn't say that, then why in the name of the Lord did you put this? Why didn't you make this book say what it means? You understand my frustration? I mean, good grief. I mean, if he wanted to say I can forgive sin, then why didn't he just say that and say that's what it means? But that's when I said, Lord, why didn't you make it say exactly what it means? And he said, I did.
Amen.
I did. It means exactly what it says. I said, okay, Lord, that means I can forgive sin. Yes. And I thought to myself, and of course, you know, I will have to say that when I first started teaching that in Dallas, over there when my church was in Dallas, some of the people that came, because our church over there was just like it is here, 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 4 o'clock. And a lot of people, just like they are here, they come to church here, they go to another church in the morning. And so some of those people, especially some of the guys, they went right up to their pastor the next Sunday morning and said, Thurman over to Living Savior Church, he says we can forgive sin. And he said, Thurman is crazy. And they were right. He was, Jack. He was crazy. Jack, that's kind of like the first time you came here when you heard me preach. You thought I was kind of crazy too, didn't you? Yeah, I can remember. There's another friend of mine named Jerry, him and his wife. I hadn't seen them in a long time, but they used to come real often. He said that we came to a Bible study class over in Justin First Baptist Church. And since we were so much older than our kids, we come visit our kids on Sunday. And the pastor there said, would y'all like to go into the older couples class? Thurman teaches it. And they said, okay, no problem. They had never heard of me. And so I was kind of tame back in those days. So anyway, they came in my class, and of course, I talked to them, and we had a normal Bible study class, and I made a few little statements, but not anything, you know, that would rattle your faith as a Baptist. And so that afternoon, I called them after I got home and had dinner. About 2 o'clock, I called them and thanked them for coming to my class and invite them back and everything. And then I started talking about the power of God's Word. So I talked to Jerry about an hour. And after it was over, he didn't say a word, hardly a word. He hung up the phone and started back over to the table. And his wife said, who in the world was you talking to so long? He said, it was that Sunday school teacher that we went to Sunday school over, Justin, this morning. He called me. And she said, well, what did he say? He said, he's crazy. He's crazy. He said, I have never heard any such thing to this. I've been to church all my life, and I have never heard such things. He said, the guy has absolutely lost his mind. But he said, I told my wife, well, one thing about it, if we ever go back, we'll never go back to that class. So he said, in 4, 5, or 6 months, we decided to go visit our kids again. So we walked by there, and he said, no, let's go in Thurman's class. I want to hear what he's got to say. And so it wasn't long till Jerry's life was changed. He realized, just like you're learning, if God said it in the Word, he means what he says, doesn't he? Yeah. If you obey God, he'll do what he said. And if you don't obey him, he'll do what he said there too. We don't see God as the kind of God that we're talking about here in Matthew 17. Let's go on down to verse Matthew 17. Did everybody see this? Whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted?
Yep.
Now then, if somebody says you can't do that, they're wrong. You have no idea how many people that Cheryl and I have prayed for over the internet. Whenever they call in with them or their family or whatever, first thing we always do is remit their sins. Because I know that they're in the shape they're in because of sin. We all are. And if you remit their sins and forgive their sins, and then you will take some scripture and pray the prayer of faith for them, in fact, you all know we've been trying to get a group of people together for prayer, and we're going to do that. It's going to happen. But I want you to start practicing. I would like for every one of you to, if you know anybody anywhere, a loved one that's having a problem, whatever, a person at work or anything that's a Christian, or even if they're not a Christian, makes no difference. I want you to, as a son or daughter of God, I want you to go over these scriptures in Matthew 7, Luke 11, and Luke 18. I want you to read those three chapters over and over and over. Now, if you read those over and over and over, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Now, if you read that long enough, you're going to finally start believing that. You know that? And then guess what that's going to do to your faith? It's going to shoot that thing up there. So anytime that after you start reading these scriptures and getting them in your heart, then find you somebody. I mean, I don't care if it's a lost person. I don't care if it's a friend, whatever, somebody that's sick or somebody has a need, whatever it is. Find somebody has a need. Now remember, what is impossible with God?
Nothing.
And you've got to remember that.
Yeah.
It don't make no difference what you ask Him for. He is bigger than anything you can ask for.
Right.
I guarantee He is. He can do anything. All you got to do is make sure that when you start praying, make sure you have remitted your own sins.
Yeah. That's right.
Make sure that I'm clean, Lord. Make sure that I'm washed in the blood. Make sure that I'm an obedient son or daughter of God. And then make sure that you believe the promises of God. And then take that one person and pray for them. Call their full name before the throne of grace. You can do like, I'll tell you how this works. When I first began to learn this, that God did hear my prayer, He did answer my prayer. And there was a woman that prayed for me back at my hometown where I was raised. And I had, I forget now how many warts I had on my arms and my hands, but 30 or 40. And she prayed for me, and within 2 or 3 weeks, every one of those warts came off my body. Now, this woman told me the prayer she used. She used a specific prayer, and this is the prayer she used. She said, Father, she said, let not the warts on the hands of Thurman Lee Scrivener corrupt or corrode him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And she said that three times, and then she thanked Him for doing it. And she said, that's all I did. Well, I've learned that you can do it that way or a jillion other ways. You don't have to pray that prayer. God hears every prayer that you pray if you've remitted your sins first. And so that's when this young boy, Cliff, one day he come in, a man, that, good friends of mine from the church, and we're all up at their house having a hamburger or something one night, and their son, which was about 18 or 19 years old, he come in. And he had a great big old thing on the back of his left hand there, a big old white spot. I said, Cliff, son, I said, what's that thing on your hand there? He said, oh, Thurman, it's a big old wart. Now, I had never prayed for anybody at this time. I saw that wart, and I said, wow, come over here and let me look at that. He come over there, and there's a great thing, big as a quarter. I said, would you like for that to go away? He said, absolutely. He said, I've been doctoring it. I put this white stuff on it, but said nothing appears to work. He said, I even had it burned off when it was smaller, and it came right back. I said, Cliff, I want you to write down your full name, because I'm not good at names. But whenever he wrote Clifton Wayne Hurley, that's the name he wrote down. When he wrote that down, I took that, and I looked at that, and I thought, okay. That woman, I wasn't there when she prayed for me. So that means that if I go home and I get down on my knees and I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to take the wart off the back of the left hand of Clifton Wayne Hurley. And if I do it like this, Father, let not the wart on the back of the left hand of Clifton Wayne Hurley corrupt or corrode him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. And then do that three times. Now, see, that doesn't have anything to do with either, because when I prayed for Philip, I only prayed one time. But for him, I prayed three times. And then I told him, I said, if you'll believe me, I had already read that scripture that when you pray, you must believe with no doubt in your heart. Now, see, that's a secret. That's something you got to know, that God hears your prayer once you've remitted your sins. He hears your prayer. He answers your prayer. But you have to believe with how much doubt?
No doubt.
No doubt. That means you got to believe that God is who He says He is. And that'll test you to find out where you are walking with God. I mean, is your God, how big is your Jesus? You know, I don't know about yours, but mine's, I got Him in a little bitty box about this big. That's where we live. That's where I live for a long, long time. So anyway, I made that bold statement there. I said, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to guarantee that wart's going to come off your hands. I thought, and when I walked out of there, I thought, this was something tapped me on the shoulder. You're a fool. You don't really think that God is going to take those warts, that wart off that boy's hand. After all, did you see how big that thing was? Yeah, I saw. I thought, I get home. God, I know I made a fool out of myself. Y'all understand where I'm coming from? You ever been there?
Yes.
I felt like a dummy. But then the Holy Spirit got a hold of me and I thought, you know, my God is bigger than this.
Yes.
I mean, I realize that's a great big wart. But my Jesus is bigger than that wart.
Yes.
And so I just quoted some that verse, not verse, but that prayer that lady told me about. And in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I asked three times for the Lord to take away that wart and praise Him and thank Him for doing it. And about 3 weeks later, my phone rang one day. And, Thurman, I said, yeah. I said, this is Cliff. I said, oh, praise God, son, how are you doing? He said, you know that big old wart I had on the back of my hand? You told me it'd go away. I said, yeah. He said, it's gone. I said, you don't mean it. Now, will God be merciful to you when you're young and stupid?
Yes.
Now, he expects me to, expects more of that than today.
Yes.
He don't expect me to get down on my knees. And it's okay to get on my knees, but he don't expect me to come to him and say, oh, God, I don't know if this is going to work or not. Oh, Lord, I'm in so in agony. Now I know who my God is. So now when I pray for you, now, so if I had to start like that, guess what you're probably going to have to do? He probably ain't going to start you out with that raising that woman from the dead. He might do it, but he probably ain't going to do that, you know, because he knows where we are, and he's not going to make a fool out of you. He's going to do something to teach you how to pray. So if you're not praying for anybody, then I challenge you today to choose somebody, a friend, a relative, somebody at work, or whatever, but learn how to pray for that person. You know, because God, He'll be merciful to you. He will, really will. He'll help you. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. He knows. I mean, that's just like, I remember the time after God had spoken to me three times that when the fuel pump quit on my car that time. You know, I got out, and of course, by this time, I've heard His voice three times, and I know He's there. I know when He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, I knew that He meant that. But, you know, I can't see Him, Frank. You know, I can see you, and I know you're here today. So I got flesh on that, so I can talk to you. But when you're talking to God, He ain't visible, is He?
Nope.
And so I know that day that my fuel pump quit, and I checked it, and there was no fuel coming out of the gas line. I said, oh, shucks, here I am in Granbury at 9 o'clock on Friday night in a foreign car. They're probably in a fuel pump this side of Fort Worth for this thing. I thought, I am dead in the water. Lord, what am I going to do? Have you ever asked the Lord for something, didn't even know He was listening?
Yeah.
You've done that too, huh, Terry? And so all of a sudden He says, son, that's kind of startled me. And you look around and you don't see nobody standing there, but just you. And I said, yes, Lord. He says, didn't I tell you in my word that you could ask for anything and I would do it for you?
Yeah.
Did He say that?
Yeah.
How many times, reckon?
Yeah.
A whole bunch, right?
Yeah.
We just went over three different places. Miss Jackie just told us three different sets of verses in Matthew and Luke that where He said we could ask, seek, knock for anything. And every time He'll answer.
Right.
So when I said, yes, Lord, you did. He said, well, so what are you going to do? Isn't it amazing how God, what He has to do to us to train us? You know what I mean? I mean, but are all of us like this?
Yeah.
Yeah, we all have to have a starting place.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to run into that guy. I've never met him. That he comes in and accepts Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and all of a sudden he's a ball of fire, and he has all the knowledge, all the wisdom. Usually that's not the way it works. Usually you have to seek God, you get in there, and He works with you, and He builds you up slowly but surely, and He trains you how to be that overcoming prayer warrior that He wants you to be. So, but if you will start praying for people, and if you'll, and like I say, do it one-on-one. Find you somebody, and if everything else fails, Pray for your mate. If you're married, you got two of you always. And I can guarantee you, I've never met a couple that there wasn't a need for prayer for one of them or both of them. Is that right?
Amen. That's right.
I don't care who you are. You know, you have a need. You have a need. Your wife has a need, or you have a need. She can pray for you. You can pray for her.
But
and, oh yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, yeah. And so it's amazing that whenever we start coming down with something and we don't get an answer pretty quick, that's where we need to go back to. Lord, what did I sin? Where did I sin? You know, what did I do wrong? And he might just tell you, you've not been a very good mate. He might tell you that, you know. In fact, the reason I said that, we had a lady down in Dayton, it was, wasn't it, honey, down there in Dayton. This lady, 70-something years old, she had gross pain in her body for years. I forget how many years. But I talked a little about husbands and wives and how we're supposed to, the wife's supposed to submit to the husband in all things, and the husband's supposed to love the wife like Christ loved the church. We talked about all that. After that first evening, she went up to her husband and she told him, "Honey, I am sorry. I have not been a very good wife. There's been a lot of times you asked me to do something that I was very hard to get along with. I was not submissive by no means." You know, so she said, "Will you please forgive me?" He said, "Well, you know, I'm sure that I've been kind of obstinate and hard to get along with a few times myself." So he said, "Now that we're in the confession mode, let me just confess my sins too. And I ask you to forgive me for not being a good husband." He said, "I could have been a better husband." Now then, does this remind you of the Pharisee and the Sadducee that's out there saying, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner"? Yes, that reminded me. So anyway, after they confessed their sin to each other, she comes over to sit down to wait for her children to be prayed for. Well, probably 30 minutes goes by, and one of the grandkids go over and says, "Grandma, I need you to come over here and do something." So she said, "Okay." So she said, "I reached to get a hold of the seat because for years I've had all these pains in my body, and my body just aches." And so she said, "I reached up and thinking it's going to be tough, as it always is, to get up, and I grabbed hold of the seat in front of me and sort of pulled myself up. And I just bounced right up there, and there was no pain whatsoever, nowhere in my body." She said, she came over to talk to me later. She says, in fact, it was the next night. She said, "I went home that night, and she said, I have not had a single pain in my body." And she said, "To think that God was disciplining me with pain from demons, just like you say, all because I was not being a good wife to my husband." And see, when she repented, she got healed.
Yeah, they've been married 50 years.
Yeah, that's what she said. She said, "My husband and I have been married 50 years.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, 50 years, and then right at the end, I mean, you know how easy it is for you to get in that mode? Even if you've been married 10 or 20 or 30 years, you know how easy it is to get in that mode of not walking in love? Yeah, it's easy, isn't it? It is easy. You know, so We need to learn to do that. Every one of us need to learn how to pray, and we need to learn how to submit ourselves to the Lord and to each other and walk in love, because we don't do a very good job. Maybe I should say we don't do a very good job. I'm sure some of y'all got the same problem I have, right? Yeah, so. In fact, Cheryl told me last week, she came down with a really, really scratchy voice last Sunday. And I guess it was, I don't remember what night it was this week, but one of the nights, right in the middle of the night, and she just got up and went to the bathroom, so I knew she wasn't awake, or wasn't asleep. She had to be awake. So I kind of turned over and pulled the cover down off of her and kissed her right on the back, right there, and just kind of kissed her, and she said, "Honey, I love you." I said, "Well, I love you too." And she said, "I want to tell you, I've not been a very good wife lately." She said, "I've been kind of hard to get along with." I said, "Well, I understand all the things you're up against. You know, you're trying to do all this Christmas stuff, and during the Christmas time, I hardly ever see her. You know, she's busy. She's running to and fro 90 miles an hour. And so she's just don't have time to talk." And so I thought, well, now I've got a captive audience. I got her in bed, locked my arm around her. I just kissed her right between the back, right in the shoulder blade, and tell her I love her. You can't find a better place to catch your wife, right? You got her down, you know, she's in the bed, she can't get out. You just kiss her and tell her how much you love her. And then it brought confession. It brought her to tell me she's sorry for what she had done. And so, but what I'm trying to say here, I love to learn to pray for people and see God answer my prayer. And especially my wife. You know, although that whenever she was coughing and hacking so much this last few days, every time she coughed, I prayed for her. Sometimes I didn't pray out loud. Sometimes I just prayed, but I still prayed. And she told me that one of the things she got upset at me about was because I wasn't praying for her enough. And when I prayed, God didn't hear my prayer. So anyway, I kept on praying, and she started getting better. And now today, she's a whole lot better. You know, but you know, if you want to see God do something, you have to take these promises that He give you and use them. You know, is that right, Terry?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you have to use those promises. You have to learn how to stand on those promises. And if like when the girls are really good at this, I know because sitting over breakfast the other morning, I was talking to Kim and Scott about something, and of course, that's her first answer. Question to me was, well, Pastor, have you prayed about that yet? And I said, you know, I ought to be the last one that have to be told that, but it's amazing how many things we do and we don't pray over it. And our mate comes in and says, are you having troubles? Yes. Well, have you prayed about it yet? And no, I haven't, but I'm going to right now. Why is it that we're so hard to do it God's way? I don't know. I mean, He made us a book completely full of promises, didn't He, Scott? I mean, the book's just full of promises. And the promises work too, don't they, Jack? Yeah. Yeah, like I say, you know that I get so tickled at Jack. Some of you never heard this story. Some of you heard it several times. But that first Sunday Jack came out here, he was down his back, and he's a doctor. And he had been down on his back a long time and couldn't get nothing done. And so a lady sent him out here. And I told him, I said, well, you got a little sin in your life somewhere. Where do you get that? And I said, well, right now I don't have time to explain it to you. I said, just repent of all your sins. And so he repented of all his sins. I said, now then we're going to use a prayer and we're going to use the Word of God and we're going to pray for you. And I said, I'm going to guarantee you the Lord's going to take your pain away. Well, we did all that and then I said, now how's your pain? He said, oh, it still hurts just like it always did. I said, well, it's not going to be a miracle healing. It'll just be a healing. I said, all you need to do is go, and as you go, worship the Lord and thank Him for your healing. Wasn't that what I told you, Jack?
That's right.
Yeah. So Jack starts out the door thanking the Lord for the healing. And he's a Baptist, you know, so he's never seen anything like this. And so he gets out to the car and opens the car door and starts to get in, and the pain's all gone. And he's never had it since. That took another one of them Baptist boys, like this Baptist boy. Now we got two of them Baptist boys that are learning how to pray. And we look for people to pray for now, don't we, Jack? Yeah, I guarantee Jack, as he travels all over the country, and I mean he goes to Houston and all over. In fact, one of the stories he told me that about his travels, you remember up in what state was that where they had that terrible tornado?
Joplin, Missouri,
yeah. There was a shopping center he went up there to clean up. And he said, when I got there, he said, every building on that whole block was totally destroyed except the one on the end. There was one building on the end that didn't have a broken water line, didn't have a broken glass. The building was totally ripped apart right up to the wall. Everything from there down was totally, totally destroyed. But this one building had absolutely no damage, didn't lose a day of business. I said, who in the world did that building belong to? He said, it belongs to Hobby Lobby. Does that tell you anything? Is Hobby Lobby, is Milton Green, is it Milton? David Green. Is he a good Christian man? Does he help Christian organizations? Does he tithe? Oh, yes, he does all. He does all. In other words, there is the perfect picture of a man that walks in the secret place of Psalm 91. That man walks in the secret place of Psalm 91. And when Jack come back and told me that story about how that entire shopping mall was destroyed except that one building. Wasn't that right, Jack?
Well, more than that, the storm was a mile wide and 7 miles long. So about 6 miles before that was destroyed. Then 3/4 of that building was destroyed, and then everything south of that and then behind that building was destroyed.
Wow. In other words, if that ain't a perfect picture of a man walking and dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, I mean, that no damage shall come near you. You see, you'll see why it's so important that we walk in obedience to God's word. To think, Jack saw that. He went up there and cleaned up that shopping center, and that one building which belonged to Hobby Lobby was not damaged at all. But I prayed for a boy that worked for me down in New Orleans. And he was Presbyterian, I believe. But when he started working for me, he was a good mechanic. And he started working for me, and I started talking to him about Jesus. And he learned stuff about Jesus. And then one day when they had the big storm, one of them, it wasn't Katrina, but one of the big storms, I called him a couple of days before it got there, and I told him, I said, Bruce, I said, they're going to have a big storm. And I said, it's going to damage all kinds of stuff. I said, the Lord has given us dominion and authority over the weather. I said, so I'm going to pray and ask God to not destroy anything on your house, no damage to you, your wife, and your children. He had 3 children. I said, no damage to you, your wife, and your children, and no damage to your home. Everything's going to be okay. And the Lord says, what do you say in Matthew 18:19? If two of us... Okay, well, those kind of promises, we need to use them, don't we? So I used that promise, and I prayed that the Lord would watch over his property, not do any damage to his house whatsoever. And a few days later, when the storm had went by, Bruce called me and said, Thurman, I know you've been telling me about how awesome this Jesus is, but he said, now I've seen it. I said, what's the deal? He said, the house across the street from me is a concrete slab. There ain't nothing left but the concrete slab. The house behind me has got about 1/4 of the stud standing. The rest of it's totally destroyed. I said, what kind of damage did you get? He said, I never lost a shingle. Not one shingle did my house lose. Now then, you want to see God do something like that? You need to start practicing on something little. Start practicing on somebody. You see somebody with a problem with their hand or whatever. Now, sometimes they're not going to... I was over in the dealership, Ford dealership, and there was a guy that's a golf player, and these 2 fingers were all messed up. And he was talking to a guy about he needed to go into the doctor, needed to go get whatever done on it. So he said, I've been this way for 6 or 8 months now, and it's not getting any better. And so I walked up to him, and I said, sir, you wouldn't happen to have a bitterness or an unforgiveness toward a male, would you? He said, that couldn't have any effect on it. I said, oh, yeah, it can have all the effect in the world. No. So he turned and said, no. And he went to talking to somebody else. I thought, well, he may be a Christian. He may not be a Christian. But if he's not a Christian, you know, I never even thought about that. You know, Lord, right now, that gentleman, I don't even remember his name. But he had a messed up hand. And I know he was remember talking to me. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm going to remit that man's sins. Right this minute, I'm going to remit that man's sins, and I'm going to ask you in your mercy and grace to heal those 2 fingers and make his hand perfect where he can play golf again, because that's what he loves to do. But Lord, then bring it to his heart to remember about that crazy guy that asked him about his hand that he wanted to pray when you didn't believe. So Lord, call his remembrance to that, and he'll say, wow, something did happen. My hand got healed. Now then, is that what God called us to do?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I should have, you'd think by now I'd learn, I should have just said, well, my name's Thurman Scrivener. Here's one of my business cards. I'm going to be praying for you anyway.
Yeah.
See, you can do that, can't you?
Yeah.
And that way, whenever they get up one morning and the hand is normal, like when Cliff got up that morning and that big old, of course, I'm not like that now. I mean, I can think about how little faith when he called me and said, Thurman, that wart is gone. My first words is, you don't mean it. Yeah. Now, that tells you how much faith I got, right? You don't mean it. Now, when God says I'm supposed to have no doubt in my heart, right? None? So, but if you'll start little, find you somebody that's got a little need, whatever it is, and start praying for them. Read those promises. Go to Matthew 7, 7. Go to Luke 11. Go to Luke 18. Find those scriptures and read those scriptures over and over and over until they become a reality to you that God really means what he's talking about. And if he put it in there and said it, is he talking to you?
Yes,
he is. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. Call him in remembrance of his promises. Stand on those promises. And then find you somebody to pray for and thank the Lord for doing it for them in Jesus' name. And then one day, and tell them when you start praying for them, say, I'm praying for you. A girl at work or something, say, you know, I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to ask Jesus to do something for you. And then when it happens, they're going to come back and say, hey, you know, you told me you was going to pray for me. Look at my hand. It's healed. Or whatever. It might be anything, you know. What can God do? Anything. You know, when you think, I told two guys the other day about my hand, and those guys come up and they were Christians. They looked at my hand, and I said, and a doctor in my church told me that when the Sunday he saw my hand, when I unwrapped it and he looked at it, he told me my hand needed approximately 200 stitches in my hand. 200. And he said, but I know what you're going to do. You're going to trust Jesus, aren't you? And I said, yes, that's what I'm going to do. And I trusted Jesus, and Jesus healed that hand without a scar in 3 weeks. Now, what kind of work does he do, Jack? Ain't no doctor in the world can do that, is there? But Jesus. Is that something? Have you ever seen my hand? You heard the story, or have you heard it?
No, that's personal.
I tore that hand up in an overhead door.
Oh.
Tore it all to pieces. When I come home to Cheryl, all this meat right here was laying down, and you can see bone all through in there. All four fingers were tore all to pieces. And Jack, which is a doctor, he looked at it. It happened on Friday. He saw it on Sunday. He said, wow, Pastor, he said, you need 200 stitches in that hand. It's tore all to pieces. But he said, I know you're not going to go to a doctor, are you? I said, no. I'm going to let Jesus and prayer. And through prayer and letting him in 3 weeks. Didn't he do beautiful work? And see, it works. Is that something? Now see, if you learn to pray, what can you get done? Same thing. See, learn to pray. But pray in faith. Pray believing. Pray reading the scriptures to the master. Lord, you said right here in Matthew 7, 7. Lord, you said right here in Luke 11. And you said here in Luke 18. And read those chapters to him. And say, Lord, I'm standing on these now for somebody, for whatever, and I thank you for healing somebody or meeting their need or whatever it is. And then let them know that you're praying for them. I mean, see somebody at the store, like Cheryl did at the Walmart here a while back when that boy was strung out on drugs. She kicked them devils out of him, got him set free, got him saved, and filled the Holy Ghost and everything right there in Walmart. So how much dominion and authority do we have? Yeah, what do we not understand about all? Hey, you know, everybody, she is the only one that had real faith, I'll say that though. Her daughter's getting pretty good. She's not where mama's at yet, but she's getting there. But everybody else was just awestruck at what God. Yeah, she knows. She knows where the power's at. She knows where the God is. She's got that same God in her, but she ain't figured it out yet. But she knows mama's got it. And so when she calls mama and says, Mama, will you pray? She prays, and when she prays, guess what happens? It happens, yeah. Yeah. And just remit their sin. Remit their sin and then pray the prayer of faith for them. Okay? Did everybody have a good Thanksgiving? Well, we're coming next week. We're going to feast again. We're not going to fast, right? We're going to feast next week? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you for this church, for these people. I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you're teaching us through your word, and that your word really does work. Now, Lord, we want to be those sons and daughters of yours that go out and literally kick out devils, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. We want to see you do great and wonderful things because it brings glory and honor to the name of Jesus and the Father. when we do what you tell us to do. And we thank you, Father, for being the mighty God that you are. Now, Lord, just bless us this week as we go. And, Lord, we thank you for making this a great week. I mean, making things happen. Let us get people saved, healed, and delivered. And may this be the beginning of the best week we're going to have for the rest of our life. We're going to start seeing you do such great things. So we're going to start praying for everybody in the name of Jesus. And as people start praying one-on-one for people and they see their prayers answered, they'll get to the point where they'll be waiting to pray for somebody because they know you're going to do a great work. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.